Good morning. If you have your Bibles, be turning to Matthew chapter 11, or if you have an iPhone with an app, a Bible app, open it up. Matthew chapter 11. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this as we look at Jesus from a fresh perspective. Because I think we all come here with our preconceived eyes about Jesus, and I think it's enjoyable and it helps us grow in our faith when we see Jesus from a different perspective, as in the Gospel of Matthew's case, we're looking at Jesus from a Jewish perspective. So I find it very refreshing. And you should find that refreshing too as we look at Jesus from a different light. Now we come to chapter 11, and it's interesting how things unfold here. John the Baptist is in prison. He has been in prison for challenging Herod, and he is struggling. And I got to thinking this week about what do we do when our faith is really hard? In other words, what do you do when life is difficult and you're struggling, and maybe you've come into this assembly this morning and there's something going on right now in your family and you're not talking about with many people, and you're just struggling with your faith right now. You're saying, Lord, I believe, I know that you're real, but I'm really struggling with holding on to the promises that you have made, and I'm really wrestling right now because of this difficult situation. Well, I've got some really good news for you this morning about John the Baptist struggled with the same thing. And we're going to talk about that today as we look at doubts and what do we do with our doubts and that kind of thing. But there's more to the message than that very thing. But let's look at the text together, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, the Messiah, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor had the good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Put yourself in John's situation for just a moment. What is causing him to doubt? I mean, here is a strong prophet of God. From birth, even before birth, God has anointed this man for a task, and yet he is struggling here. There's three things that are causing him to doubt, and three things that cause us to doubt that stick out from the text to me. First of all, it's difficult situations. You think about where John has come from. He has gone from being a prophet, being anointed, being called by God to a prisoner. And I know this caused him to say, wait a minute, this wasn't in my plan. I wasn't anticipating this. And I think about, for a lot of us, we have things that happen in our life that we were not anticipating. Maybe you've come into here today and you've had something happen this week that you were not anticipating. Maybe, you know, that 3 a.m. call from the police saying your child is in trouble. Or maybe the doctor says it's cancer and you've suddenly got this news and what are you going to do with it? All these things, these difficult situations cause us to doubt God. They cause us to wrestle with our faith. We struggle because difficult situations are going to happen. It's inevitable in each one of our lives. So what do we do when faith gets hard? What do we do when we start doubting? Well, let's keep investigating here. Some other things besides difficult situations. Unmet expectations. Think about John for a moment. Go back 2,000 years. What were the Jewish people expecting? What kind of Messiah were they expecting? They were expecting a military king, a somebody who would rule them and bring a physical kingdom of power, much like David did 1,000 years before that. One that would bring and usher in an age where there was peace and there was no strife. See, they had allowed their misunderstandings, they allowed their surroundings. They had been controlled by foreign countries for hundreds of years. And this affected how they saw the Messiah, the 60 prophecies that are found in the Old Testament. They began looking at them and saying, you know, this must not be a spiritual, this must be a physical kingdom that this Messiah is going to bring in. He's going to come in and he's going to kick everybody out. And that was the misunderstanding of what brought Jesus to the cross. Unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. When unmet expectations come, they cause us to doubt, you know. And one of these areas is unanswered prayer. We go to the hospital, we pray with people, we pray and ask God to heal this person, and it doesn't happen. The person still dies. And it causes us to go, wait a minute, I prayed about this. Why, Lord, are you not answering this prayer? Unanswered prayer is a big one that causes a lot of people to walk away from God. But what are you doing in prayer? When you pray, we are asking God, we are entrusting the outcome to Him. Whatever that looks like, whatever healing looks like, maybe healing is death. Maybe the best thing for that individual is to go home. See, prayer is not, as we've always said, it's not manipulation. It's not me saying, you know, I want this, Lord. But it's saying, Lord, I trust you. And whatever is the outcome to this, you know what's best for my life. Maybe God didn't perform like you wanted. Maybe you were praying about a situation. Maybe you had a job opportunity or a family situation that was difficult. And you prayed about it, and you prayed about it, and you felt, yeah, this is what I need to do. And then it just jumps up in your face, does not turn out like you thought it was, and it causes you to doubt. We have to trust when we pray that God knows what's best for us. And He knows it may not be this particular thing that you're wanting. Sometimes God will give us what we want just to teach us a lesson in the process, but often God will not give us what we want. And say, I've got something so much better planned. You think too small. Causes us to doubt. And of course, the misunderstanding that a lot of people have. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm not supposed to have any problem. Well, let me tell you something. You have hacked off the kingdom of darkness. Okay? You got an enemy on your tail. You're not his friend. Problems come. It does not mean that God is angry with us. It doesn't mean He is punishing us or disciplining us. Maybe He is in some situations. But at the heart of it is a God who deeply loves us. So these unmet expectations, they cause people to really struggle. And I'm not going to believe anymore. I'm just not going to trust in the Lord. Causes us to doubt. Third thing that John experienced, that we often experience, that causes us doubt is a limited perception. You know? John's sitting in a prison cell. He has only been introduced to Christ. I mean, he has seen Jesus. He has baptized him. He's heard him teach some, but that's it. He wasn't there at the cross. He wasn't there at the resurrection. He has no idea what's going to happen after this. And of course, I think he did have a misunderstanding of what the Messiah would come to do. No, he's come to bring a spiritual kingdom, one that's going to be set up forever, that's going to offer the forgiveness of sins to all. That includes the Gentiles. So John had no idea how everything was going to work itself out. And I'm here to tell you today, you have come into this assembly and maybe you're struggling right now in your life and you're thinking, you know, I just don't know about this God and I'm really wrestling and I got all these issues and I got all these problems and circumstances. Let me tell you something. You have a limited perception. You don't know what's going to happen. We could all get killed today. We could all die today. Did you know that? We don't know what's going to happen the next minute, the next hour, the next day, the next week. So stop stressing. Because the God who is in charge of history is our God. And he is in control of things. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. Where the Lord is like a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In other words, God's not on a time schedule. He is above time. He is at creation. He is at the time of David. He is at 1776. He is at today, and he's at judgment day too. So we get all stressed out, worrying about, gee, what's going to happen to me in 5 years? What's going to happen in 10? What's going to happen to my child? Put it in the hands of the Lord. And stop stressing. Because God is already there. He's already around the next corner, y'all. So what have you got to worry about? When you have a God who will bring all bad things, bring good out of bad things, who has your best interest at heart, who loves you deeply, and is wanting you to grow in your faith. God is not going to allow us to stay where we are. And often it's trials and tribulations that help us grow the most. And because God loves us, he will discipline us at times when we walk away, when we stray away, when we are struggling. He disciplines because he loves us. So these areas that cause us to doubt, you know, it's inevitable that we will struggle with doubt. And it's okay. I mean, you got a prophet here struggling with doubt. And we think oh, everybody's rosy red. These are ordinary human beings in the Bible, just like you and I, who struggled with sin, who made mistakes, who doubted, who lied, who got drunk after they were on an ark for a year. You know, that is just human beings. And God doesn't give up on us and say, you know, just forget you guys. He uses us. Now, I think an important question to address right now is, what is the difference between doubt and unbelief? Because those are two different worlds. Oz Guinness in his book says, this is great, I love the way he explains this. When you believe, you are in one mind and accept something as true. One mind, I accept it. Unbelief is to be of one mind and reject that something is true. But to doubt is to waver between the two, to believe and disbelieve at the same time, and so to be of two minds. That is what James 1:8 calls a double-minded man. Or as the Chinese say, doubt is standing in two boats with one foot in each. So you have the story of, in Mark chapter 9, one of my favorite stories of the man who has the demon-possessed child, and he tries to get the disciples to drive the demon out of the child, and they're not successful, and Jesus comes on the scene. And then the guy says, if you can do anything, would you please help us? And Jesus is like, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And then I love the man's statement, don't you? He says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And does Jesus say, well, forget it. I'm just not going to heal this kid. You obviously don't have enough faith. He heals him and teaches that man and us a powerful lesson about doubts. God doesn't reject us. God doesn't walk away when we're wrestling with doubts. He's not going to say, well, forget it. You know, I'm not going to work in your life anymore. I find that very refreshing today. The danger about doubt, though, is that doubt can become a habit, where I continue to not trust in the promises of God. I continue to worry about things and continue to doubt, and it becomes a lifestyle, and then it becomes unbelief. Unbelief kept Israel out of the promised land. Unbelief keeps you out of heaven. It becomes a dangerous thing if you don't deal with it. So I'm encouraging you today, yeah, it's okay to doubt, but deal with your doubts. Don't sit there and not deal with them. You have to deal with them because they can become a dangerous thing if you don't deal with them radically. So the answer for our doubts, look what Jesus says in verses 3 and 4. And he said to him, are you the one who should come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered, go and tell John what you hear. A quote from Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. He's saying, hey, don't you remember what the prophet Isaiah said, the blind shall hear, the lame shall So walk, lepers shall be cleansed, the dead's going to be raised. Hey, don't you remember, John? It's biblical truth that we need to hear when we are struggling with doubt. The truth of God's word. And I'm here to tell you today that the only thing that's going to hold you up when the tragedy hits is what you believe. What is the core of what you believe? That's what you need to keep going back to when tragedy hits. You need to keep going back to what you know is true. Well, I know that the Bible's true. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that in all things, He works all things good for those who love Him. I know that's true. And even though my world is chaotic right now, I can say when that hits, I'm going to believe. I know that's what's going to hold me up. Am I making sense this morning? Yeah, y'all with me? Y'all kind of looking at me puzzled. Are you struggling? Are you struggling with doubts? It's okay. You're not less of a Christian. People say, can I still be called a Christian and have doubts? Yes, you can. You're no different or no less than anybody in the Scriptures. Because they struggled too. And it's okay. Let God know about it. Talk to Him about it. Say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this doubt stuff. And I need affirmation from You. I need encouragement. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. Look what He says in verse 6 to John. It's a challenge. He says, blessed is the one who is not offended by Me. He's challenging him. He says, John, stand firm, man. You can do this. It's all right. Stand firm in God's truth. I'm reminded of in Ephesians 6 how that's part of the armor of God. It's to stand. When the enemy hits, sometimes you just got to stand where you are. Even though you can't move, I ain't moving from here. I'm going to stand. What you stand on is truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Lord. He has paid for my sins. He is coming again. Those are truths that we can hold on to. So what does God do with our doubts? Look in verses 7 through 11. And I love this. Here's a chance for Jesus to say, well, I guess I shouldn't have called that John guy. He obviously wasn't faithful enough. As they went away, John began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Is somebody that's going to, you know, has no conviction about anything? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? No. Behold those things. Those who wear soft clothing live in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is He of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before you. He will prepare the way for you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So do my doubts disqualify me? Does God say, well, forget it? No, He believes in me. He believes in you. He believed in John the Baptist. He affirmed him publicly. And He affirms you when you're wrestling, when you're struggling, when you're going through the doubting season. We all go through seasons, y'all. I think it's part of your walk. If you don't go through any seasons of doubt, then I really want to question, where's your faith? Because faith is the conviction. We have conviction about what we believe. And there are times that faith is tested. And yes, there's times that I doubt. Think about why John is the greatest prophet. It is because for 4,000 years, time and history have waited for this very moment. Because the Bible is one story, how God rescues us from sin. The whole Old Testament points towards the cross. The New Testament points back toward it. It is the central figure and hero is Jesus of the entire Bible. He is the greatest, John, because He is the last Old Testament prophet. Yeah, I know He's in your New Testament, but He's technically still under the Old Testament. Who has the honor, wow, what an honor He has, to introduce Jesus to the world. He must become greater, I must become less. He understood. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Whoa. Do you see that? What's going on there? He's talking about us. Because here's the deal. John and everybody in the Old Testament had only been seeing half the movie, guys. They didn't know how this was all going to pan out. They knew there was a Messiah coming, but they didn't understand it all. Didn't have it all down. And yet we have seen how it all fits. We've seen the whole movie. And that's an unbelievable privilege. Do you realize that we have seen how it all fits together? They did not. So what do you think they think about us? What do you think those Old Testament saints are thinking about us right now in heaven? Are they thinking, you know, wow, you know, look at these guys, and what are they thinking? I think they're thinking, man, what a bunch of knuckleheads. We didn't have the scriptures, yet you do, and you don't have time to read it. We didn't have any access to God's word. We had scrolls that were read to us from time to time. Yet you have it in your car, you have it in your house, and you don't have any time to read it? Are you crazy? This is God's word, the creator of the universe speaking to you. You have direct access to God in prayer. I had to go through a high priest. I had to bring sacrifice. I had to watch an animal get sliced before I could come into God's presence. And you don't have any time to talk to him? Are you crazy? And forgiveness. You've got forgiveness of sin. It's cleansed your conscience. I struggled as an Old Testament believer wondering if God forgave me or not. I had to trust the promises. Yet you have Jesus, you have the cross. Where is your joy? And you have the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. You have God living inside you. Do you realize only a few people in the Old Testament were filled with the Holy Spirit? And it was only for a period of time because God, it was a limited amount of time so that they could fulfill a specific purpose. Man, you guys should be moving mountains. You should be attacking the gates of hell. I know they have to be looking at us going, what is their deal? Look in verse 12. Point made. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. It's a strange verse. We'll come back to it. Hold that thought. Verse 13, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept that he is Elijah who is to come, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Nothing, I think the point of verse 12 is that nothing can stop God's kingdom from advancing. You know, not even Satan, not even all the demons of hell. You cannot stop God's agenda. It's going to happen. And I find it interesting that the French agnostic Voltaire, he hated God. He said, we're going to destroy all the Bibles. We're going to destroy Christianity in my lifetime. And it's interesting that he died an agnostic, and his house is being used to print Bibles. God has a wonderful sense of humor sometimes. Nothing can stop God's kingdom. Verse 16 and 17, listen to how Jesus continues. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, yet you did not mourn. It's interesting, this is where understanding the Jewish background, reading the Bible from a Jewish perspective helps you understand. Because as parents, you know, as they would shop in the marketplace, often the children would stay in the market, but they would play games with each other. Very common in the first century Judaism. They would play this game called the wedding game, and they would start playing the flute, and all the kids would, you know, they'd all start dancing as part of a game they had. But what's interesting in this passage is he's saying, you play the flute, but you guys don't dance. He's comparing this generation, the generation that he is, you guys are like a bunch of selfish kids who when we play the flute, you don't want to play. He says, you know, you sing a dirge, we want to play the funeral game, but now you're upset because other kids don't pretend to be sad like you are. Jesus is saying this generation who has already rejected him and John, you guys are like a bunch of selfish, hard-hearted children who want your own way, just like those kids on the playground. So I'm not the Messiah you think I should be, huh? John wasn't the right kind of prophet, huh? And he says God's wisdom will be proven by the righteous fruit of John in Jesus' ministry. And my question to you today is I wonder how many of us here are just like the children on the playground. We stubbornly refuse to submit our lives to God because we want our own way. Don't ask me to go to Africa, Lord. Don't ask me to do... I'm going to stay right here. I am not going anywhere. And maybe the Lord's put on your heart to move to a particular city or to take a particular job or to take a cut in pay or to maybe to downsize your house, and because he wants to work through you powerfully in this community, and you could have stubbornly said, no, I'm not going to do it. I want my stuff. You're just like that child on the playground. And you're missing out on the blessing of God. You're missing out on what God's wanting to do through you. Look in verses 18 and 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Ah, his righteous deeds will prove who is wrong and who is right. This is what the people on the playground were talking to about Jesus, this generation he's talking about. They're saying, oh, he has a demon. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. Can you imagine? Jesus hearing this. But aren't you glad? I'm so glad he is a friend of sinners, aren't you? Can I hear an amen in the house today? He is a friend. A friend. God loves the underdog. He loves the King Davids who are the forgotten last child. Oh, yeah, when Samuel comes to Jesse and Jesse thinks, well, it's one of my first six sons that's going to be the next king of Israel. And I love how it plays out. He goes through all six and God tells Samuel, no, it's not one any of them. And Samuel says, do you have another son, Jesse? And you can hear it in the text. It's like he says, oh, yeah, yeah, I got a son. He's out in the he's a shepherd. And he's out in the fields right now. God says, go to him and anoint him king of Israel. That's whom God loves to exalt, the underdog. The lowlife, the person that can never hit the ball, the person who is a loser in everybody's eyes. You can't do anything right. God says that is exactly whom I want to use. Because that person, they're not going to be bragging and saying, hey, look what I'm doing. They're going to say, look what God is doing. And that's exactly what David did with his life. So my question to you today, family, as we close, do you want to reach the world for Christ? I can't hear you. Do you want to reach the world for Christ? Yes. Come on, do you want to reach the world for Christ? Yes. I don't believe you. Do you want to reach the world for Christ? Yes. Then sit in the smoking section. It's time to sit in the smoking section, people. It is time to get your hands dirty. And to go where people don't want to go. Maybe you have neighbors. Maybe you have people you work with. Maybe you have people you're they're kind of rough around the edges. You know what I mean? Go to them. Get your hands dirty. Sit in the smoking section. I used to love it in the inner city when we're walking in the projects, and we would invite people to church. And it was just so, I come upon a bunch of folks drinking, just going at it, just drinking beer and alcohol, whatever. And we come up, and all of a sudden you hear this, click, 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 click. All the beer cans going behind the, and you know what I tell them? Jesus Christ set me free from alcohol. I want you to know him too. Would you like to know him? He has given me my life back. You can come to church. You know, we would love to have you come this Sunday. Would you like to come with me? Would you be my special guest? We got to get our hands dirty. And it's so often Christians just avoid, we have our little flashlight party. When Jesus says, I want you to be where there is darkness. So I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you to reach out to your coworker, reach out to your neighbor, reach out to somebody that may make you feel a little uncomfortable. And just love them. Invite them to church. Build a friendship with them. How many unbelievers do you know? We got to be out sheep among wolves, y'all. He didn't say sheep among sheep. We got to be out among the wolves because the wolves need Jesus. So as we close up today, what causes us to doubt? I think it's plain and simple, but I want to encourage you today that whatever you're wrestling with and struggling with, the Lord already knows it. You can't hide anything from him. He still loves you. And it's okay to doubt. Ain't nobody got it together in this room. I know some people walk into churches thinking, well, they got it together. Boy, look at them. And hey, man, you go follow them home, and yeah, you'll probably change your mind in about 5 minutes. I'm serious. We're all sinners. This is a hospital. I'm sick. Are you sick? And I need to be reminded from time to time that when I do doubt and I do struggle, that it's okay. I'm not any less a follower. But it means God is going to help me grow. And God is going to help you grow. What does God do with your doubts? He continues to love you. I want to encourage you today, take whatever you're struggling with, take whatever, just talk about it with the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling with where I am right now. Put away the cliche prayers, guide, guard, and direct us, and talk to him. I'm angry. I am frustrated. That's the Psalms, by the way. And share with him. He loves you. He's not going to reject you. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today for John. What, you know, we look at him and we think, man, what a bold prophet, and man, he had such courage and faith, and yet he just kind of fell apart in prison. And we're really thankful he did. I really thank you today that he struggled with doubts, because it gives us all courage and hope today that you're not going to throw us away when we fall apart. That when we have a bad hair day, you don't have a bad hair day. It doesn't influence you in any way. So I pray today, Father, as we come to you today with, maybe, I can't speak for, I don't know who's struggling in this room today. You know their hearts right now. Whatever they're thinking about right now, you know exactly what they're wrestling with. And I want to thank you, Father, that you love us, that you don't give up on us, that you affirm us in our failures. And I want to pray for each of us as we wrestle that you will remind us that of your truth. Remind us, Lord, of your promises. Remind us, Lord, that you are faithful and never are unfaithful to what you've promised. We surrender our doubts to you today, and we ask that you strengthen us. Strengthen each believer here today in their faith. Give us a strong conviction, Lord, a boldness to get our hands dirty this week. Help us know, Lord, it's not an issue of knowing the Bible well enough. It's knowing the Savior enough. And I pray, Father, that we will have a boldness this week to us, that we will reach out to the person that may be a little different from us. And we pray, Lord, that we will be the ones that sit in the smoking section, because we know Jesus did. And we want to be just like him as your Talmudim, as your disciples. So help us this week, Lord. Give us boldness and help us with our doubts to trust you through them. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, if there's any prayer request or anything we can pray with you about or encourage you with, won't you come as we stand and sing?